Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. I love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. This is Joe and Angel. We're back for another Mailbag Monday podcast.
Remember, everybody, to get on Facebook or Instagram to submit your questions, and we'll do our very best to answer them.
Okay, let's go ahead and jump in and look at some of the questions that we've gotten.
Okay, so the first question here I can relate to very well. What do you do if your child is in a relationship you don't agree with?
Whoa, there it comes.
Yikes.
Well, a couple things. You know, we had five girls and a boy, so we started early. Long before, you know, you hit that teenage day, we just have them sit down once a year. Here, make this list. Who would you like to marry? We don't marry anybody. Well, if you did get married, who would you like to marry? Let's make a list. What are you looking for in a spouse? Well, somebody's handsome. Somebody maybe has a lot of money. Somebody's got a nice car. I just make them write it down. And so every year we would update it. Hey, we're going to update the list. It's that time of year. We'd always do it January 1st, you know, New Year's Day. Everybody's celebrating, having food. Hey, let's sit down and get a list, Ellis. We're believing for a spouse because eventually I don't want you to live with me forever. I want you to get married. So who are you looking for? And they'd write it down. Well, all of a sudden the teen years hit and all of a sudden, you know, hormones are bouncing. Oh, Dad, I'm in love. Really? Who are you in love with? Let's so-and-so. Well, let's pull that list out. What list? The one you've been writing every year for the last several years, the kind of person you're looking for. We'd put up, well, they're not even close to this list. I'm sorry. Did you lose the list? Did you change your mind? Because you said you were believing for somebody that did this, looked like this. This guy didn't even look close. Well, you know, and so you just caught, you're trying to get them to think because it's all flesh. All relationships start in the flesh. I like the way you look, the way you talk, the way you smell, the way you kiss. It's like it starts out in the flesh, then you finally get over to your soul. Hey, who are you? And third thing is you always end up with your spirit. Hey, you go to church anywhere, you know. And so you have to kind of walk them through it.
Well, I had an experience like that, and I have to say I handled it horribly. I did everything wrong. So I can tell you real quick what not to do. My son was in his junior year of college. And he started dating this very strong girl that really isolated him from the family. And his sister, my daughter, and him had always been so close. And even they started to separate from each other a little bit. And so you knew something's wrong with the relationship when there's bringing division everywhere you go. And I handled it the worst. I came out swinging. And it did not go well. And it was a very rough, say, 6 months. And then he came to me and said, I'm going to quit college and I'm going to move to this certain state where she's at. And I go, again, probably didn't handle it as well as I could have. I said, you're going to finish college because even if you just do it for me, you're going to get that degree. If I've got to show up in my pajamas and walk you to class every day, you're going to finish this. And you know what? He did. And a few months later, he thanked me for pushing him through at that point. And we did get over it. And, you know, that relationship dissolved. But honestly, what it took was a lot of prayer and agreement. I wish I'd have handled things a little bit better. Could have walked in a lot more love. And we still, all three of us, my son and daughter and myself, anytime we talk about it, it's kind of like, that was not a good time. So I sympathize with you. But really, you can't overcome someone's will.
No.
So you have to you know, walk in love, tell them the truth, sometimes be firm.
Yes.
But pray, light up the prayer tower.
Well, there's only two kinds of people on this planet, those following God and those following the devil. There's no middle ground where people are just waiting to decide. You're going with one group or the other. And I tell people all the time, I used to tell the students, you know, the devil's not ugly. Lucifer is the best looking thing God ever made. So whoever's showing up, take your child sideways. They're going to look good, smell good, talk good, kiss good. And, oh, I love them. Well, you don't know them yet. You're just looking at the outside. You don't know them. And it takes time to get to know people, have conversations, go someplace with a group of people. And so you got to kind of walk through it because don't overreact. You do that and man, that starts to pour the concrete and that's not good. Yeah. I want my kids to talk to me, not just clam up on me. So Got to be real slow to speak, quick to hear, slow to wrath. So that's the best thing you could have done, Angel. That works.
Okay, so here's one. Is this the day? This is supposed to be the question and answers of everything Angel has done wrong in her life, because I can relate to all of these questions. How do you handle working with a coworker who is rude and disrespectful? Once again, I did wrong.
I'll let you jump in. Jump in, sugar.
I had a coworker who was a very ambitious, shall we say, new believer who felt it was her job to be the Holy Spirit for everybody and to correct them. And it was very holier than thou and, hard. And so as a Christian, you know, at first I was just like, okay, you know, she's a new Christian and everything. But one day she went a little too far and I bit. And I shouldn't have because, of course, I learned to acquire the taste for humble pie because, you know, I know I'm, you know, the whole day, the whole afternoon, I knew I was just in my gut, oh my gosh, you're going to have to apologize.
Yes, you are. Yep.
You're going to have to make this right because it's going to come back to haunt you. And I did. I apologized and to everybody around. And it honestly did not get any better, to be honest with you.
Yep.
It didn't. But the thing is what I had to do was check what was going on with me. No matter what everybody else does, I have to do what's right.
You got to watch that. What are you going to do about that toothpick on your neighbor's eye when you got a tube before in your own eye? It's like you're trying to accuse them. And some people will do that. They're going to accuse you of what they're probably guilty of themselves. So it's like, I'm not the Holy Spirit. Now I have to stand up and you have to speak up. Well, guys, I just don't agree with that. I think you're way over the line. You're not, you know, you're not my boss. You're not my mother and you're not my father. You're not my God.
Right.
You're just a person giving an opinion. You really kind of need to keep that to yourself at work.
Yeah.
And that's not your job. You know, you're not the Dear Abby checks on the newspaper. We don't really care what you think. Well, I'll tell you what I think. That's probably a bad lead in right there.
Yeah, it probably is. Oh, that's a tough one. But you know what? This is what I used to say when I would leave work. She is developing the fruit of the Spirit in my life.
I'm becoming a better Christian. I really am.
Yes. All right. The next one is, how do you handle a spouse who turns the children against me in an argument?
Well, you tell them they're cheating. There's cheating. You can't do that. Anybody that needs a child to back them up is not an adult. If you're having to use the children to back you up in what you believe, you're not an adult. You're a thumb sucker just like they are. And so that's just rude. Matthew 18:9 says, if you got something against somebody, you go one-on-one with them. If you don't, they don't agree, then get another adult who's a believer to get and find out who's probably right or wrong. If you can't handle that, go get your pastor. And usually they say, well, I don't have a pastor. That's probably a problem. You need to get in church and find out what the word says because it happens all the time. I mean, I did counseling for years, and all of a sudden, you know, well, they're turning the kids against me. Why? How could the kids even have the thought? You're telling kids stuff they don't even need to know. You're supposed to handle this one-on-one.
And this doesn't say whether or not this is a divorce situation or not. My guess is it would be because I've had a situation like that going through divorce. And I remember very clearly I would not talk bad about my ex-husband, and I just wouldn't bite. And both of my kids came to me at different times because they knew what was right and wrong, and they knew what they saw in my house, and they knew what they were seeing in their father's house, and it wasn't lining up. So they knew. They came to the realization on their own, and they came – both were upset. And it backfired. It really, and it always will. It backfires on the one that's trying to turn the children against them.
Yeah.
What happens is the kids will figure it out. They're not stupid.
No.
And they'll figure it out. And what will happen is it'll turn against them.
And you need to realize that your kid's not going to stay this age forever. And I've had people, well, what if I lose them? I said, listen, you got to tell the truth. Don't be bringing up side agreements, getting kids. Don't get them involved in that stuff. They're going to grow up eventually. And they'll know, hey, you know, mama's right. Hey, dad was right. They'll see.
Right.
Truth will set you free. So they'll see it eventually.
And there's a great scripture that says, if you sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind.
Oh,
I mean, that's just some bad seed to sow.
Yes, it is.
But just pray for your kids too, because it's wrong to put your kids in that kind of a position. I mean, I hate that.
You got to, there's some great scripture. You know, Father, I pray you take blindness from my kids' eyes and lighten the eyes of understanding. You know, talk to them when they go to sleep. When they wake up, you promised you would. They need to see the truth, God. I don't want to get involved in this. This is not a court of law where we're going to bring witnesses. Well, they said, they did. No, no, we're just going to handle this one-on-one. God's going to work this out.
Yeah. All right. So, what do I do if my spouse refuses to work when we need the finances for our family?
Well, there'd be a few questions I'd have to ask about that. You know, when I grew up years ago, our father, my father-in-law, my mother-in-law was a stay-at-home mom. My mother-in-law was a stay-at-home mom. Cooked breakfast, lunch, had a hot meal, dinner was ready, house was clean, laundry was done. That changed. And mm-hmm. most everybody's a two-income family today.
Right.
And so what happens when you get married, that's where you do the pre-marriage counseling. Okay, now where do you expect to live? And we'd like to live over here. Well, where are you going to be driving? We're going to be driving this. Well, how long are you going to be driving that? The thing looks kind of worn out now. You know, probably need some maintenance. How are you going to pay for that? And mm-hmm. what's a standard house payment, a standard insurance? What's your standard grocery bill? What's it cost to live? Mm-hmm. Hey, now you say you're in love. How are you going to pay for this? How do you make this work? Well, we'll both work. And I've had many a couple. Well, I wasn't going to work. Well, sure, I thought you would. My mom worked. Well, I'm not working. And I've had them. These are Christians. These are all Christians sitting in the office. And it's like, guys, you need to talk a lot
right. And
talk a lot of questions. And it's like when you get to this point, well, that should have been settled on before we got to this point. Now, we've gone through that where, you know, my wife and I, when I remember I had a great job as an engineer and I quit and went back to Bible school. We have three minimum wage jobs between the two of us for over 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. We're working three minimum wage jobs. We're barely putting a gallon of milk on the table. But we had both made the decision. We think this is what we're supposed to do. We gave up everything, sold a nice home, gave away a nice car. And we're living on minimum wage, driving in just a single cab pickup truck with all of us in that one cab. But we knew it was just for a period of time. And so we can do this. So it's like Denise worked harder than I did. She still takes care of the kids. And when I'm working the two jobs, she's working the one. But we talked about it. Mm-hmm. What we're going to do. We're committed to this.
Right.
What you hate are surprises. Humans hate surprises unless there's a big red bow attached to the top of it. So you're going to have to sit down with somebody probably and another party. Like I said, a pastor or somebody said, guys, we're having a problem. My wife probably ought to work. Well, my husband maybe ought to work. I don't know which one it is. It's one of them.
Right.
It takes two. It takes two.
Well, and the times that I have seen this, because like you said, our society has changed. Most people have to have two incomes. But when I see this, most of the time it's because of an insecurity. Mm. The spouse doesn't want to go out.
Yep.
Maybe they don't have the education they feel like they need.
Sure.
Or maybe they're older and they haven't been in the workforce for many years, and there's fear of the unknown. I mean, I don't know that I think I would question it a little bit deeper, because you could there's many options if
sure.
you want to work out of the home. There's some jobs that will give you training. Try to get to the bottom of it, because my guess is it could be deeper than the need for the finances.
It's going to be, I guarantee it. I mean, we've all had family. I've had kids. I had a daughter, had a college degree, very good, made great grades, married a young man who's still a year and a half short of graduating. The town he's in, they wanted to move to this other town where he was from so he could finish his college degree. He's working a minimum wage job, and my daughter, who has a 4-year college degree, can't get a job in her area. It's hospitalization where there wasn't anything there.
Mm-hmm.
So she's working a minimum wage job at the local mall, you know, selling clothes in a clothing shop for minimum
right.
wage. Like, what are you doing with your degree? Well, this is the only place I have to get a job. It's the only place hiring. He's trying to finish his degree. So pretty soon they realize they can't afford their apartment. They got to get a cheaper apartment. And about 6 months later, they can't afford that. We got to get a cheaper apartment. And all of a sudden they're going backwards. And so finally they call one day and said, man, what do you think we ought to do? I said, well, I'm not told you because you're an adult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't tell you what to do. You're an adult. And if you ask me, I'll tell you. But if you don't ask me, I can't tell you. So sometimes you realize when you get in this situation, there are families involved with this. There's
mm-hmm.
in-laws and parents who are probably running their mouth and saying different things.
Right.
So it's like you got to take it back to your spouse. Here's what we need to
yeah,
do. You got to settle between yourself.
Yeah, have just a real heart-to-heart.
Yeah.
All right. So, Joe, what are some practical things that you guys did to help your kids foster a real relationship with God?
It's not what you think. people used to ask us all the time because I was an education director because I've come from the business world for 12 years. Now I'm on the staff of the church, and we got all those kids. And people thought, man, when do you have Bible study at night? I said, I don't ever have Bible study. They said, you don't have Bible study in your home? Dear Lord, no. I got 6 kids. We're lucky we can find some food to eat and clothes to wear. We're washing clothes and dishes and doing homework. And so when did you teach the Bible? I said, on the way to school. What? Oh, yeah, I kept a one-year Bible in my suburban. Matter of fact, I had 2 or 3 of them in there. And so it's one-year Bible, New Living Translation, paperback. So I keep it in suburban because it was 31 miles to school. We lived way out in the country. So I'm getting in the suburban every morning. It was almost a mile and a half just to get to the paved highway. Time I pulled up on the paved highway, I'd yell in the back seat and say, hey, what day is it? It's the 8th. I'll say, Proverbs chapter 8, first 3 verses. And I didn't care who read, it's just whatever kid. Now, kids get up different. You got more than one, you got a zoo. Some kids got up early, some got up late, some did their homework the night before, some didn't have their homework, some got dressed, some weren't fully dressed yet, some forgot their socks. Hey, I left my shoes, and it was a zoo. So I'd say, okay, first 3 verses, dead not now, I got to do homework. I remember I'd yell, I'll pull off the side of the road, and I'll say, here tonight, you're going to read the first 3 verses. And sometimes they'd yell it, fine, I'll read it. You know, God said, and they'd throw the Bible and hit one of their siblings. Dead to him in the Bible, shut up, read the next 3 verses. And so people have laughed forever because they think I'm funny. I said, no, we did that for years. When did you read the Bible? On the way to school. Mm. I got 30 minutes. You're going to read the Bible. I'm just going to read a proverb a day. But if you read a proverb a day, it'll change your life. It is the word of God. God will watch over it. So, you know, the practical things was, you're going to read scripture. My kids will still tell you, where'd you learn the Bible? Driving to school. Sometimes I was in the mood to read it. Sometimes I wouldn't. But I did get the word of God.
Yeah. My dad would always say, don't wait for the mood to strike. Okay. Well, that wraps up this week's podcast. So don't forget, every Monday we'll be answering your questions on the podcast. So make sure to get those questions in. We love hearing from you. If you want to stay a little bit more anonymous, you can always direct message us on Facebook.
Thanks to everybody for great questions. Make sure you tell your friends about the podcast so they can get blessed too. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we'll be right here. We love you guys.
God bless you.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.